Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. I thank the Lord for all of you that are listening in today. And we're going to be talking about part three of a series, The Pillars of God's Kingdom. And if you've been with us the last 2 weeks, you know that we have been talking about the pillars of God's kingdom, what establishes God's kingdom here on this earth. Jesus said to pray ye like this, let it be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so God has declared in heaven what he wants it to look like here on this earth, not only for us as individuals, but for us and in nations and in communities and in groups of people, families. And so God has declared it in heaven. We are to strive to make it look like it is in heaven already, and we can do that when we come to know Jesus Christ, when we come to know God's Word. We can come to know the pillars of His kingdom. We can come to know what He wants to have us establish here on this earth. And beloved, just to give you some encouragement today, God can do all of this without us. He has in the past used angels, and he uses angels today, and he can shake the nations, and he is shaking the nations today, and he can distribute his word or proclaim his word without us if he wanted to. But beloved, even the rocks will cry out if we don't speak. Even the rocks will cry out if we don't share. And so it is our blessing, it is our privilege, it is our benefit to share the word, to proclaim the good news of the gospel. And so we can sit around and wait for the rocks to speak, or we can go ahead and speak ourselves, because God wants to use you. He wants to use me to proclaim the message, the good news of the gospel. And so that is what the pillars of God's kingdom is all about, that God wants to establish his kingdom in man here on this earth. And we are the highest of his creation. Man is the highest of all of God's creations, and he wants to use you. He has a purpose for you. He has a purpose and a destiny for me. And so when we come into the knowledge of that purpose and that destiny, then we are fulfilling God's perfect plan for our life and for your life. And so we have talked the last 2 weeks about the first two pillars of God's kingdom, and they are, as we review, number one is the sanctity of human life. Every person born and unborn is created in the image of God, and you see this great battle going on in America over the unborn, over the issue of abortion. You see this great battle playing out, and now many states, Alabama has signed into law a bill that puts great restrictions on abortions. It restricts abortions after the fetal heartbeat is detected, reduces abortion to just a small percentage of what they are currently being enacted in Alabama. And so you see this great battle going on all over the nation, states passing fetal heartbeat bills and other nations actually endorsing and passing bills that allow infanticide, babies to be killed even after they are born. And so this great battle is going to play out not only in the courts of the land, not only before the judges and eventually before the Supreme Court. The Roe v. Wade bill will be brought before the land in the Supreme Court of the United States, but also it's going to be played out just in individual homes, as the sword of the Lord is going to divide people over this issue. The sword of the Lord is going to divide churches. It's going to divide denominations. And there will be a great dissension and much discussion and much angst over this situation, because the devil has had his way with the United States since 1973, and all of this free access to abortion and easy abortion is going to be held in account by the Lord. Well, the second pillar of God's kingdom is the sanctity of marriage, and also there's a great battle in America over this. And by the sanctity of marriage, I mean marriage between one man, one woman, the biblical definition of marriage, the biblical concept where marriage is a picture of Jesus Christ, the bridegroom, and the church, the bride. And so this issue is also playing out in the courts, the rights to teach our children what is true, what is not true, the rights to be able to hire people in the workplace according to our religious faith and according to our beliefs. And so all of these issues are front and center in the courts. And just to reiterate what we talked about last week, the issue of same-sex marriage, the issue of transgender policies, all of these things that are in the courts now and that are being paraded about in the culture here in America, it is all going to be brought to account by the Lord, and we are going to reap what we sow. And so that is pillar number two, that God has declared that marriage shall be between one man and one woman. Well, today we're going to look at the third pillar of God's kingdom, and that is the declaration that God has for his nation of Israel, for that piece of land, and for his children, Israel, those people, his chosen people, who brought forward for us, who brought forth for us Jesus Christ, the Messiah. And so this is very important. If you've never read through the Old Testament, you're not going to have an understanding of this. If you have no grasp of what the Old Testament is talking about, that it is a sign pointing towards Jesus Christ. But many of the prophetic passages in the Old Testament have already been fulfilled by the first coming of Jesus Christ, by his presence in the nation of Israel, in that piece of land. But the best is yet to come, beloved. Jesus is coming back again, and the nation of Israel is now prepared. It is there since 1948. All of the people who were dispersed of the children of Israel, all of those people have now been brought back to the land, and the land has been reestablished as God's chosen land, as God's chosen nation. And the children of Israel then, since 1948, have been in that land. And now, 70 years later, they're still there. All of their enemies have tried to wipe them out, and they still are. And yet, God has protected them. God has established them. And God has a purpose for them being there. And that purpose will be fully realized or fully revealed in the days ahead as we watch and as we pray. Well, turn in your Bible, if you have it there, to Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. And this is the first declaration that God speaks to Abram about his destiny and how it relates to us. In verse 1, it says, "Now the Lord had said to Abram, 'Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse him who curses you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed.'" And so there it is, beloved. There is the declaration by the Lord God that Abram is going to be the father of many nations, and in him all of the nations, all of the families of the earth shall be blessed. Well, what God was speaking about here was the seed of Abraham through his son Isaac, through Jacob, the seed through eventually King David and all of that lineage down through to Joseph and Mary. But of course, Joseph was not the father of Jesus. The Holy Spirit was. But God declared that through this line of people, through this line of Abram, the descendants of Abram, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And God spoke that thousands of years, of course, before Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem and laid in a manger. Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago, approximately. And we have now become the beneficiaries of that blessing in this day, in this time, in this season. We can see the fulfillment of that prophetic word spoken over Abram, and we can see the fulfillment of all the blessings that God has for the families of the earth coming through this man, Abram. And beloved, I encourage you to read your Old Testament, the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of prophetic words spoken in the Old Testament. We have seen many of them come to pass, but many, many more are yet to come to pass. But one of the greatest was that Israel was brought together as a nation in 1948. And in that time, God brought them from the many countries around the world where the Jewish people had been dispersed. He brought them to that land that he originally gave to Abram. When Abram came out of the far country and came into the land of Canaan, God spoke to him and he said, "This land is going to be the land for your people and for your chosen people, and the seed from you will come from this land." And so God unveiled his plan to Abram, and he established his plan all through the Old Testament. And so Abram then became the father of many nations. In verse 17 in Genesis chapter 22, it says, the Lord speaks to Abram again, calling him Abraham now. And he says, "Blessing, I will bless you, and multiplying, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore, and your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies." Well, beloved, greater is he that is in you, greater is God that is in you than that little he that is in the world. Even to this day, very day in 2019, you can possess the gate of your enemies. You can have sway, you can have dominion over the land over which your feet step, and you can have possession over the gate of your enemies. And Jesus Christ, through the power that he gives us, through the power that he grants us, we can possess the gate of our enemies. Beloved, you don't have to be subject to the wiles of the evil one. Greater is he that is in you than that little he that is in this world. And Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6, take up the full gospel of armor. Take up that full gospel of armor, and you will then stand firm against the wiles of the evil one. And so we have the power, through the power of Jesus Christ that he gives us, we have the power to stand, and we have the power to possess the gate of our enemies. And beloved, the nation of Israel is this very day needing our prayers. They're needing our intercession. They're needing our blessings. And back to that Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, God says, "I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." Well, beloved, if you want a blessing, pray for Israel. If you want a blessing, bless Israel. Because God says, when you stand with my people, when you stand with my chosen people, when you stand with my land, you will be blessed. I will bless you. I will send a blessing upon your land, upon your people, upon your family, and upon you. And so we don't maybe understand the totality of that, beloved. As you ask God for revelation, as you ask God for understanding, you will start to understand that God has a very, very special place in his heart, and that place in his heart is for his chosen people, because they have sacrificed, they have provided the oracles, they have kept the oracles, they have kept the place for Jesus Christ, and those people have sacrificed because all the nations of the earth have come against them. Most all the nations of the earth, this nation, the United States, has even come against them at certain times in our history. And that place that Israel occupies there, that little spit of land on the Mediterranean Ocean, that place that Israel occupies is the place where Jesus is coming back again. Well, some of the greatest prophecies spoken in the Old Testament have to do with the regathering of God's people. And you know, if you've read through the Old Testament, you know how the people of Israel were dispersed in 70 AD. The nations came against Israel and dispersed them, and they were a dispersed people for approximately 1900 years. And yet the Lord was able to bring them back together. Well, nothing is impossible for the Lord. So he was able to bring them back together. And the nation of Israel was established in 1948. Harry S. Truman was very instrumental. God used him probably in a greater way than any other person on the face of the earth to help establish the nation of Israel as an independent nation. And this was a fulfillment of prophecy when God brought Israel back from the nations of the earth. And in Jeremiah 31:10, here's one of the prophetic words spoken by the prophet Jeremiah. Hear the word of the Lord, O nations, and declare it in the isles afar off, and say, He who scattered Israel will gather him and keep him as a shepherd does his flock. For the Lord has redeemed Jacob and ransomed him from one stronger than he. Well, you know that in the day of World War II that Hitler tried to destroy the Jews. There were many Jews in Europe, in Russia, and in Germany, and Poland, and Czechoslovakia. All of these countries of Europe had many Jews, and Hitler killed 6 million of them by some estimates. And his intention was to wipe the Jews off the face of the earth. And that has been attempted many times, and yet God has preserved them. And here in Jeremiah prophesied hundreds of years, even before Jesus was born, that he who scattered Israel will gather him and keep Israel as a shepherd does his flock. For the Lord has redeemed Jacob and ransomed him from one stronger than he. Well, Jacob was called Israel, and he has ransomed him from one stronger than he. And then God says in Jeremiah 31:31, Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. But this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Beloved, that covenant went into effect when Jesus Christ offered up his blood as this offering for the sin of all mankind, and the veil of the temple was rent when Jesus was on that cross, when Jesus died, and he said, It is finished, the veil of the temple, and there was no longer then any need for sacrifices in the Old Testament covenant, sacrifices of animals, all kinds of bulls and rams and turtle doves and every kind of animal that you can imagine. The blood of them was shed for the ransom and for the sacrifices and for the offerings to the Lord. But when Jesus Christ offered up his blood, then there was no longer any sacrifice. And God said, then when that covenant was established, then you will no longer need the Ten Commandments on the tablets of stone. Yes, we try to live a holy life. Yes, we try to keep the Ten Commandments to the best extent that we can. Yes, but we do it out of love. We're not establishing our righteousness. We're not establishing our salvation. We're not establishing our place in the kingdom by checking off that we've kept each of the commandments each and every day. And we are now in the new covenant as a result of the blood that Jesus shed and the offering that he made. He took his very own blood into the Holy of Holies in heaven. He presented his very own blood as the payment for our sin, as the payment now that the new covenant has been established. His blood then became the payment, and now the law of God is written on our hearts. We don't have to go to the temple and see the parchments. We don't have to go to the temple and see the stones with the Ten Commandments written on them. We have the law of God written on our heart. The Holy Spirit speaks that law to us. The Holy Spirit speaks that covenant to us. And God spoke through the prophet Jeremiah, "This is the covenant that I make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." Well, you probably say, well, what's happening with the Jews? They have not accepted Jesus. They rejected Jesus. Beloved, many, many of God's chosen people now are messianic, what we call messianic Jews. They have come to know the Lord. They have accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And God knows that many more will come in the days ahead. And so it is God's will that we speak to the Jews, that we tell them about Jesus, we tell them that Jesus is the Messiah, and many of them will receive, many of them will come to know Him as their Lord and Savior. And God says, "Every man shall know me," verse 34 of Jeremiah 31, "no more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more." Well, God is the author of our salvation. Jesus Christ is the author and the perfecter of our faith, and the author and perfecter of our salvation. And so we have our sins forgiven. If you have never accepted Jesus Christ, do that today, and you will have your sins forgiven. God says, "I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more." And so the offer to you today, this very day, is to have your sins forgiven and your iniquity forgotten by your Creator, the Lord God Almighty. Well, a couple of more scriptures, prophetic scriptures from the Old Testament, speak about the gathering in 1948, the regathering of the children of Israel, Jeremiah 23:3, "But I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries where I have driven them, and bring them back to their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase. I will set up shepherds over them who will feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, nor shall they be lacking, says the Lord." And so that speaks to us as well, not just to the children of Israel, but we will be under the care of the shepherds that God has appointed over us. We will be under the care of the shepherds God establishes over us, and we shall have no more fear. We shall not be dismayed, and we shall not be lacking. God wants to provide you everything that you need in a spiritual sense. He wants to provide for you salvation. He wants to provide for you the blessings that come with knowing Him. The revelation and the blessings are yours when you walk with the Lord. Well, beloved, Jesus is coming back. Where is He coming? He's coming to Jerusalem. The Bible is clear on that. He's not coming to Kansas. He's not coming to the United States. He's not coming to other countries around the world. He is coming to Jerusalem. In verse 3 of Zechariah chapter 14, "Then the Lord will go forth and fight against those nations as He fights in the day of battle." And verse 4, "And in that day His feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which faces Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall be split in two from east to west, making a very long valley. Half of that mountain shall be moved toward the north, and half of it toward the south." Well, beloved, Jesus is coming back. He's going to put His feet on the Mount of Olives in Jerusalem. He's going to place His feet where they once already walked in the land of Israel. He's going to come back, and He's going to gather up then His people and all the nations of the earth, the goat nations. He's going to separate them out, the sheep nations. He's going to separate them, and there's going to be a great battle, the end time battle of Armageddon, and Jesus Christ will then establish His kingdom, His millennial reign for all eternity. And beloved, you want to be a part of that. You want to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Then you will not have fear. You will not be dismayed. Beloved, if there's anything that is gripping the people all over the world now, it is fear, because the end times are going to be fearful, and some people are going to be full of fear. They're going to be full of great trembling, and even tragedy, but that does not have to be your fate. I beg you to trust Jesus as your Lord. I ask you to trust Him and receive Him. Repent of your sins, confess your sins, and say, Jesus, I want to know you as my Lord and my Savior. I offer you my life. I offer you my soul. Lord, forgive me of my sins. I repent of my sins. And when you say that and you're truly repenting and you're truly sorry for the sins that you have committed and for the breaking the heart of your Father God, when you say that to Jesus and you say that to the Father, God forgives you. He forgets your sins as far as the east is from the west, and He will establish you. Then you will be called a son of the living God. Well, beloved, this message is a bit deep, I know, and it may be a bit hard for us to understand, but if you read through the Old Testament, take your time, read through it. Come to know the prophecies, come to know the Lord of the Old Testament, the Lord of the Old Covenant, and you will then know better the Lord of the New Covenant. Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. I invite you to support us. We have been bringing you these broadcasts for 14 years. We thank you for the provision, but we invite each and every one of you, if you have not supported this ministry, or even if you have, to join us, support us. We want to hear from you. Sit down, write us a letter, let us know you're listening, drop us a check, and we will be grateful, we will be thankful, and the Lord will bless you. Stay tuned for contact information. Thank you for listening today. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.